welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're going to pick up our study here in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And he," that is Jesus, "went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him." So there the Lord Jesus has gone from Capernaum, sailed over to Gadara, healed that demoniac, that man that was possessed of that legion of demons, comes back, is besought by Jairus to come and heal his daughter, heals the woman with the issue of blood on the way, and then raises Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. He leaves Capernaum, his, as it's going to turn out to be, his headquarters city, until he moves his church to Jerusalem and then gives his life on the cross of Calvary there. His northern headquarters there in Capernaum. It says here he goes into his own country, to the southwest, down into Galilee, over to Nazareth. And it comes to the Sabbath day, it says in verse 2. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?' They've heard word about Jesus and what he has done, people talking as people do and telling their own accounts, those people that are trooping about with the Lord and proclaiming his greatness and his power, the things that he's recently done in Capernaum. They're telling about those things, and they hear the Lord Jesus teach in the synagogue, and they say, 'How does he have this? We know he didn't go down to Jerusalem to study, and we know that he, as we're going to see, we know his family and we know his upbringing. These great words that he has, how does he have that? How is it that these miracles that he's doing? I mean, we know him. Remember, the Lord came meek and lowly, and he grew up. He grew up to a man of 30 years old there in Nazareth, and evidently was not even really noticed. He was known that he was there. He tells us in other passages that he stood up, as his custom was, to read in the synagogue. They'd hear him read in the synagogue. And listen to what they say. "Is not this," verse 3, "the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. This ability that the Lord had to speak and to handle the word of God, to tell what God, what he believed, it really bugged them. They were offended at him. They would, as we hear sometimes, would take the position of some, and no doubt you've heard it in your life, that said, "Oh boy, he's just gotten kind of uppity. You know, he's forgotten his roots." He's a carpenter. Carpenters don't know about these things, or carpenters can't do like this. I mean, we know his brothers and his sisters and his mother. He's no great person like this. And they were offended at him. Are you offended at Jesus? Many people are. Many are offended at the Lord. Many are offended that the Bible declares and the Lord declares that each and every one of us, each and every person in this world needs Jesus. "I don't need anybody," if someone would say. "This is my life. I'm going to do my own thing. Get out of my face. Leave me alone." Sinner, you need Jesus. You need the Lord. Some would say, "I don't understand," or I just don't get it about someone needing to die for my sins. I just don't buy that." Sinner, you need Jesus. Jesus is the only way that you can have the things that you need for the rescue of your eternal soul. You need an advocate. You need an intercessor. You need a savior. You need a sacrifice. You need a redeemer. You're ate up as I were it naturally. Every person in this world is ate up with sin and in bondage to sin and on their way to hell. You need someone to rescue you. You need someone to be righteous for you. You need someone to make your case before the Lord God Almighty. You need someone to rescue you from that condemnation that rests upon you from your sin. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ, the man would say. I'm strong. I do my work. I do this, that, or the other. In our community here, there's a lot of farming that goes on. So I master these thousands of acres and do the work that I do. I don't need the Lord. Oh, sinner, you need the Lord. Because see, one day you're going to die. And this life is going to be done. This life is going to be past. Sinner, one day you're going to live 60, 70, 80 years, and then you're going to leave this life. Maybe you're blessed to live to 110, but you're going to leave this life. And you're going to go to the eternal life. And understand this, they were offended at him. They were offended at him because of his roots and then what he was doing. They said it doesn't match. It's not a match. Who does he think he is going about being so uppity and taking the place and position of being a rabbi, a master, a teacher? Who does he think he is coming here from Nazareth and growing up in his household? And we know all of his kin, and as they suppose Joseph was his father, which he was not. God the Father is his father. They said he was a carpenter. Who does he think he is being a leader amongst men, a healer of men? Who does he think he is? But again, you're going to live the life that you live on this life, in this life, and then you're going to go to eternity. And understand, sinner, understand that a life in this life without the Lord Jesus Christ is going to yield an eternal life without the Lord Jesus Christ. You mark it down. You mark it down that a life in this present life without the Lord Jesus Christ is going to yield an eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think that at the point of death, you can make things right with God. I tell you what, when it comes time to die, you're going to be trying to hang on. You won't be able to hang on, but you're going to be trying to hang on, and you won't be able to hang on. And the farthest thing from your mind will be making things right with the Lord, because you're going to be looking to try to hang on to this life. I beg you, sinner, see that you are a sinner before God. And don't be offended in Christ. Don't be offended by him. But see him as he truly is, a savior for sinners like you. Admit before God that you're guilty, that you are a sinner, as the Lord declares. You're guilty. You're condemned. In and of yourself, you have no hope. And you repent. You declare that before the Lord, that you are a guilty sinner that needs saving and that you need his son. And you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe and you trust in him and what he's done, what he came to do freely for sinners. You trust in him and you repent of your sins and you trust him for his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul, for the payment of your sin, for the rescue that you need, the eternal rescue of your eternal soul. Look to the Lamb of God. They were offended at verse number 4 and Mark chapter 6. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. He said it's only at home that a prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, declares himself to be a prophet. And indeed he is. He is a prophet. He is that prophet that was promised all the thousands of years before in the days of Moses. Moses declared, a prophet like unto me will the Lord give. And he is Jesus. He is Jesus when he came as a man. That prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's only here at Nazareth for me that I would be without honor, respect, a reckoning of his ministry, not doubt. That's what they did here, is they doubted the Lord's ministry. They doubted him. They doubted his ability to heal. They said he didn't have the background to speak as he did about the scriptures and about the things of life. They remember when he grew up and he was a child and a young child, a young adult and an adult. They just, who is he to tell us the truth of God? He's not been taught by anything, by anyone. And listen to hear. In the previous chapter, in chapter 5, we saw a great thing of faith, didn't we? We saw the Lord visiting the man at Gadara who was possessed of the demons, and that man was needed a rescue. And the Lord was there and, of course, proactive on his behalf and saved him. And we see the great faith that the man has in the Lord after the Lord saved him and rescued him. We see the faith of Jairus coming and saying, my daughter, I need help. She needs help. We see the faith of the woman that had the issue of blood that comes up behind the Lord. And we see here in verse number 4 and that Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor in his own, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And verse number 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Why? There's no faith. There's no faith. There's no faith in him. They doubt him. You know, and if you doubt him, you won't be saved either. Oh, you've got to see that you've got a need. And you've got to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to the need of your soul. And he marveled because of their unbelief, verse number 6, and he went round about the villages teaching. So he couldn't do great works like he did in Capernaum because they didn't believe. Is the Lord thwarted in this? Well, the Lord's not thwarted in anything. It's just the design and pattern and the way that he's made. And there at home, he was unable to be the prophet that he was because of the unbelief of the people. Don't be an unbeliever. Don't be without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will cost you this life and it will cost you eternity. May the Lord help and bless with it. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.